I am Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International, and this is the Strategic Christian Leadership Podcast, episode number 48. The simple purpose of this podcast is to help Christian leaders understand, that is, Christian servant leaders, understand how planning and strategizing is important to carrying out the Great Commission. Our Strategic Christian Leadership Bible verse for this episode is Hebrews 12:2, which says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Our Strategic Christian Leadership quote for this episode is from Bill Gates. He said, "As we look ahead into the next century, leaders will be those who empower others." In this podcast, we are going through the fine books, Advanced Strategic Planning, A New Model for Church and Ministry Leaders by Dr. Aubrey Malfers, Deliberate Simplicity, How the Church Does More by Doing Less by Dave Browning, and Humilitas, A Lost Key to Life, Love, and Leadership by John Dixon. If you enjoy this podcast, please feel free, if you appreciate this podcast, whether you enjoy it or not, please feel free to purchase a copy of these books from our website at podcastpulpit.com. Our topic for today is part two of chapter four, and developing a biblical mission, what we are supposed to be doing, from Advanced Strategic Planning, A New Model for Church and Ministry Leaders by Dr. Aubrey Malfers. He continues as follows: "The mission inspires ministry. The mission inspires ministry. Unity, Scripture is clear about the importance of unity among Christians. In John 17:20-23, the Savior prays for you and me and all who believe in Christ to be one. The result of this unity is that the world we seek to reach will believe that the Father has truly sent the Son. Paul stresses the importance of Christian unity in the local church. In Ephesians 4:3, he urges the church to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Unity is another function of well-constructed shared statement of intent or mission. A clear direction communicates a unifying theme to all of the members and draws them together as a team or community. It broadcasts, here is where we are going, let's all pull together and with God's help make it happen. Thus it serves to get everyone on the same page. At the same time, it encourages those with a different intent or another ministry agenda to look elsewhere. Just think of what your people could accomplish if everyone agreed with what you are trying to do. The mission shapes the strategy. The mission shapes the strategy. A dynamic mission tells the church where it is going. It is the strategy, however, that gets it there. Though the two are mutually dependent, the mission leads and shapes the church's strategy. The mission tells what, and the strategy tells how. The mission always comes first. It is found at the front end of the strategy. The strategy is only as good as the mission that directs it. If you do not know where you are going, then any expressway or any body of water will take you there. What amazes me is that so many churches today have a strategy as expressed in their programs, but they have a vague, unclear mission. This does not make sense. Peter Drucker writes, strategy determines what the key activities are in a given business, and strategy requires knowing what our business is and should be. The mission enhances ministry effectiveness. When the people understand what the church is trying to accomplish, they become more effective in their efforts. Drucker has observed the effectiveness of a corporate mission in the marketplace. That business purpose and business mission are so rarely given adequate thought is perhaps the most important single cause of business frustration and business failure. Conversely, in outstanding businesses, success always rests to a large extent on raising the question, what is our business, clearly and deliberately, and on answering it thoughtfully and thoroughly. If you took time to investigate effective God-honoring churches across North America, large or small, you would discover that each has a significant, well-focused mission. They know what business they are in. This is because all good performance starts with a clear direction. People who know where they are going are more willing to go the extra mile. The mission ensures an enduring organization. It is rare that any one pastor lasts the entire time that a spiritually healthy church exists. Pastors come and they go. This is not necessarily bad. Once a pastor reaches retirement age, he serves his ministry best by leaving. This may be sad, but it makes room for a younger person who will be more in touch with the current culture and the ministry paradigms that God is blessing. The goal of every ministry leader should be to leave behind a mission that will continue after he is gone. Let me repeat that for emphasis. The goal of every ministry leader should be to leave behind a mission that will continue after he is gone. The mission, like the values, must not change appreciably over time. It is the Great Commission, regardless of who is the pastor. A biblical dynamic mission can help ensure the continuity of an enduring and great church for the glory of God. Beloved, if the Lord tarries, is coming and we live, we will continue this topic in our next podcast. Let's pray. Holy Father, God, give us the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, the insight, the discernment to make sure that whatever we're involved in understands the mission, which ultimately is the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. And Lord, help us to strategize and plan to reach that goal for your glory, your praise, and your honor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, today is your day. Here's how you can be saved from sin and hell and have a home in heaven when you die. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law, and so have I. We all have. For the Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now without Christ. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Also, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, this is bad news indeed, but I have some good news for you, and I proclaim it to you today. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his name is Jesus Christ," he was speaking about himself, "that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will save you. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. May God bless you and keep you.